What's up, everybody? It's week four of Benchwarmers.
We have a special guest in here today. One of my favorite teammates that we picked up at NDSU. We have Noah Sanders here. We'll dive into a deep dive with him and do a little profile on why we love him as a fellow Benchwarmer. And then we'll let Quinn chop it up here about the game. I unfortunately missed it. I had some family stuff I had to deal with. Didn't get to see too much of it, but Quinn, you watched it pretty in depth.
Yeah, so game recap. Up by 33.5 and won by 40.
Is that good or bad?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't look at the sink. So,
Arizona this week. Mm-hmm. Happy for the boys.
Yeah.
I think everyone knows that we were supposed to get that Oregon game a couple years ago and never did. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what their crowd atmosphere is usually like. I mean,
it's Arizona.
Yeah.
They go to party. So.
Yeah. They'll probably pack it out. It helps that they start that game at. Is it 8 o'clock local time, or what is it?
It's 9 o'clock local time.
That's 2 weeks in a row because they did it last week too.
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock central.
Would you ever sign up to play a 9 o'clock game in Fargo?
No.
What are these Pac-12 guys thinking?
Can you imagine how annoying Saturday's going to be for the guys? Kramer's going to have them in like three like active warm-ups. I just want to go watch football.
Yeah. We talked about that last week too, because we talked about like the 7 o'clock starts. 9 o'clock starts are crazy.
That's even longer, and they're going to eat four times before they get into actual pregame stuff.
Yeah. Well, you can listen to the recap show on the other with Jackson, Ross, and Trev, and then they'll do a preview for this upcoming week, but
the X's and O's guys.
Yeah, the X's and O's guys.
Yeah, Ross and I are headed to Tucson Tuesday through Sunday.
Tuesday, huh?
Yeah.
Business trip.
Yeah, we got a lot of pregame work to do.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll be out and about. If you guys are in Tucson, come say what's up or shoot us a message. We'd be happy to meet up and maybe have a beverage with a few of you guys. It's going to be fun. Thankfully, the pro of it being such a late game, it is supposed to only be like 85 at kick, and that could be much, much worse playing in Arizona. So I know the guys are thankful for that.
Yeah, that's a different kind of heat. Some say it's better than the humidity, but it is different.
Some call it a dry heat.
Yeah. Dry heat.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to the boys. It'll be fun. I mean, I'll stay.
Arizona's
I'll stay
40,
up
man.
For it.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about it before and kind of just marked this as a W, as crazy as that is, being an FPS opponent.
Well, they went 1-11 last year, and their one win, I think they were double-digit dogs.
So. Yeah, and I know they had a lot of attrition due to the portal and everything, but it seems like they have some real studs, especially at skill positions. So I think it's going to be a good game. I'm really excited. It's always good when you can add an FPS opponent, get a little more draw. And then I know the guys in the athletic department love it because you're building an NDSU name, building the brand even more, moving out different parts of the country. That's why the game at Target Field was so big. They wanted to build it in the Twin Cities. And then, you know, you go down there and collect a $1 million check and a win. That's a pretty good weekend.
Yeah, and I imagine that you'll see plenty of Bison fans there.
Yeah.
Any reason North Dakota people get to take a trip to Arizona, they'll take.
Right as it's, like, hitting prime operating temperature for a guy like me and you.
Yeah.
It's like 65, 70 degrees. And then I'm down in 100 degrees.
It was 49 this morning when I woke up.
Beautiful.
It was awesome.
Nothing better.
Yeah.
Well, we do have some stuff coming up here, obviously, with Noah. Let's just jump into our first ad. Big Deck Barbecue has some cool stuff coming up. New packaging, new labels, as I mentioned last week. We're running a 30% off sale right now on the website. Discount applies in cart. We're just clearing out the old inventory. So if you wanted to maybe pull the trigger just to try it, you can get it for 30% off here.
Putting yourself out of business, 30% off.
I know. I'm not going to be able to make it.
Man of the people.
Yep. That's because I love all you guys.
All right. We got Noah Sanders in the building.
Yes, we do.
Number 16 on the field. Number one in your hearts.
Certainly in mine.
Number three on the depth chart.
Legitimate fighting words on any other podcast, any other media outlet. No, I think you and I certainly got closer than maybe you and Quinn, because we were always snapping together. Obviously, centers and quarterbacks have a pretty special relationship, but yeah, I mean, we just wanted to have you on, one, because you're a fun guy to talk to, but two, you kind of have same kind of experience as we did, so kind of just get into an intro, break down where you're from, high school, all that good stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Went to high school, Apple Valley High School. For those of you that don't know, south of the Twin Cities area, lived in Lakeville, grew up in the cities my whole life. Obviously was a football, baseball, basketball guy, kind of played the big three there, but in relation to Quinn's comment, I absolutely love that, because actually, for those of you that have followed along or kind of follow that fantasy football league that the Bison Report does, my team name is Career QB3, so.
Yeah, we got a good hard laugh out of that when we saw it on the draft.
For sure. So, no, but I'm very happy to be here. Appreciate you guys giving me a shout and having me as the first guest. I'm honored.
Yeah, man, let's get into, obviously you were a stud at Apple Valley. Obviously, have a long history of sports excellence at Apple Valley. Both the Jones brothers coming out of the basketball program, and then I wrestled in high school, so I know how strong that wrestling program was. What was your high school experience? Any accolades you picked up while you were playing there?
Yeah, I mean, coming from a group of those guys like you're speaking to, the Trey Joneses, the Tyus Jones, the Gable Stevensons of the world, the Mark Halls, really up and down, you can name
just Olympians. Like four Apple Valley Hall of Famers, yeah, right there.
Olympians, a lot of Division I professional athletes kind of coming out of there left and right. It was a very cool high school experience that I got to, fortunate enough to know, obviously, now a lot of guys that I get to go see from my playing days at NDSU, but also high school buddies that I get to go watch, Trey in San Antonio, Tyus doing awesome things in Memphis, yeah. Seeing Gable win gold medals.
Yeah, that's nuts.
It's pretty cool. So
it's more, crazy. More importantly, the future WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Exactly.
Wrestling nerd. He's all in on Gable. I mean, both the Stevenson brothers were huge when I was coming up. Gable was still a couple years younger than us, obviously. But Bobby was a dog, and we thought he was like the greatest wrestler we've ever seen. And it's just crazy that, you know, you have two brothers that are in the NBA and they're not even like technically the most accomplished in their sport. Is you know, you get into Gable winning a gold medal in the Olympics, that's pretty impressive. Can you break down what was your recruiting situation like? Kind of who had interests? Where else were you thinking about going?
Yeah, honestly, my first offer came from Montana State, Coach Mess at Montana State. So. Yeah. I had come up to NDSU for team camp, or not team camp, individual camp, as everyone does who mm-hmm. comes to NDSU. You know, you go to individual camp and do the whole shtick. So I was actually in Fargo, was going to head out to Bozeman to go out to visit Montana and check out that place. And then Coach Mess calls me the day before we're heading out there and is like, Noah, you know, we obviously got to protect ourselves. We offer another quarterback. And he committed on the spot. We didn't expect this, so I don't really know what to tell you. Like, we feel horrible. We know you're headed out here, but really kind of just a tough position. So that was my only Division I scholarship offer.
Sure.
Was that right there, and then kind of was just caught in that middle ground where none of the D2s really talked to me because they felt I was a little bit above that level, yeah, but then sure. Wasn't getting a ton of looks from the D1s, the FCSs of the world, because I was kind of in that median ground,
yeah,
where I could throw it, but I probably didn't have the speed or the legs to be a huge difference maker, a game breaker, or whatever sure. You want to call it. So Coach Hedberg stayed on me and kind of just said, hey, just so you know, you have a position here, you have a spot, we'd love you to walk on, and kind of took a couple of the D2 visits and was like, yeah, this is, I don't even know what I'm deciding for. Like, I know where sure. I want to be.
So. Yeah, that's got to be reassuring from a guy like Hedberg, you know, because he is a man of his word. Anything he says, he does mean. So just for him to let you know that, hey, you at least have a shot here, that's got to be huge.
When yep.
Because we haven't really dove into it, but there is no more, like, second-guessing yourself and more insecurity than when you're getting recruited and you're like, am I good enough? Like, are they am I going to play here? All this stuff. So to hear that had to mean a lot.
No doubt. For sure. Yeah, I 100% agree. It's very the mental state that you're in is tough if you're not one of those guys that's raking in offers left and right. You're yeah. like, what does this all mean? You just never really know what's coming your way. Yeah. So
I got to jump the timeline a little bit here. So when you got to campus, was Mesh already? Is that the year he came here from Montana State?
Yep. So when I
didn't even think
yeah
about
yeah
that.
So he yeah I, like I reached out to him on Twitter the second he took the job, like, oh, look at us, here we are again.
Yeah,
so,
it's like that Paul Rudd hot
yeah
ones, like,
who would have thought?
Who would have yeah thought? Look at us. Yeah.
Did you just like back him into a corner when he got to camp, when you two got to campus?
And we never really talked about it, to be honest. There yeah was kind of that, like, we both knew, like, we acknowledged it without acknowledging it.
It's like
the same way any guys yeah handle any sort of little, because it, yeah it wasn't even a, like, it was just, it is what it is. That's
it's
the recruiting world,
thing,
so.
Yeah.
It's, but, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. The first thing I thought of, I was like, it had to have been the same year, or at least like 1 year after. But
yep.
Yeah, so I guess after you committed to NDSU, you come up here, freshman year hits, and like me and Zach have talked about freshman year and fall camp, kind of what, kind of a whirlwind it is, but do you just have any memories? I mean, people like to call it just like welcome to football moments. I guess if you have any of those, or just kind of what that first, you know, couple months is in the green and gold, because I know it's a little bit different for everybody, and definitely different at the quarterback position where, like, I mean, we have to know a lot as the O-line, but, like, I've, like, walked by the quarterback's room before when you're in there with, like, the OC, or whether it's T-Roll or whoever it is, and I just, yeah.
I yeah, because, I mean, the O-line has to know everything that's going on in that, in the tackle box, but you guys have to know everything that's going on in the tackle box and what the O-line is doing,
right.
So. Just kind of dive into that, yeah.
Yeah, I would say the biggest, like, welcome to college football moment is just that right there. Like, listening to Easton speak to you for the first, Easton and Cole speak to you about this offense that you're expected to go
a different
learn
language.
And it's like, what in the heck is going on?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, you see it when you start a job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you start your position, you don't really, you go get a college degree and you don't really know what you're doing, and then you learn it along the way.
Sure.
But that's, I didn't really have a huge welcome to college football moment.
Because you
outside
have that red jersey on.
Yeah, exactly. No one did. My biggest welcome to college football moment, honestly, came my second year when Greg Menard ripped Sabian's face mask off of his helmet on the scout team field because he was so mad at him. But, like, outside, because
yeah
I never got hit, so I didn't have this big, like, whoa moment.
I mean, he's not exaggerating when he said ripped his face
mask
out.
Yeah,
he ripped his face mask off his helmet. Yeah, that was, yeah, I mean, that's when you just see, the, like, there's levels to this thing.
Yeah.
But I think, can you kind of dive into what that quarterback room is like? Because it's a lot more intimate than other rooms, you know. All the DBs are usually together when they're not into, like, individual meetings between corners and safeties, and that's 20 guys. There's upwards of 15 guys in an O-line room. 12 in a D-line room. You guys have 4 guys at most, so what's that like?
Yeah, it truly is very deep. Like, you read about it online, and I'm not one to sugarcoat anything. Like, I'm a very straightforward person, but it's very, like, the relationship that you build with those guys in that room is really deep.
Yeah.
Coming in with Cole and Easton, guys that I still talk to today, play softball with Cole in the summer when he's
sure
back for the month of June, for the 4th of July leading up to that. And then even when, like, Zeb comes along,
yeah,
Trey comes along,
sure,
like, you just, Zeb, Trey, they're probably two of my best friends, guys
yeah
that were both in my wedding. You just develop a bond with those guys that can't really be broken. Just be it all, and it all starts when you're a freshman.
Yeah,
you're
right,
the chauffeur when you're a freshman. You're the snack buyer for road trips when you're a freshman, and then you just work your way up, and
yeah
it just gets passed on to the next guy. And it's fun to watch guys like Cam Miller now, who were in that position when I was an older guy.
Sure.
And now he's doing big things. So
yeah,
it's cool.
And, like, Zach just asked you, like, how different the room is compared to everyone else. But, like, I feel like if you're a Bison fan listening to this, quarterback position is something now that, like, I mean, I know it had had some struggles in the last couple years, maybe. But, like,
struggles is a very loose term.
Yeah.
Because people would have killed for the quarterback play.
We're spoiled, before, right?
Yeah.
2011 or 2010 to 2013, it's Brock Jensen, who was the all-time leader in wins.
Yeah.
And then you go to Carson for 2 years, second pick in the draft. Then you go to Easton, who passed Brock for the most wins. And then you go to Trey, who, as a redshirt freshman, won the Walter Payton and was the third overall draft pick.
Yeah.
So it's like, the quarterback room in general is a more intimate space, but when you're behind guys like that, because like you just said, you were at one time you were in a room with like Easton and Trey, so both draft picks.
Yep.
Behind a guy in Cole who sat behind Carson, and then like, we all watched Cole play in practice. Cole could have transferred somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely
could. Cole could have played anywhere else in the Valley.
Yeah. Yeah. So just and obviously people know this too, the quarterback position, it's not like O-line, it's not like any other position where if you're on this depth chart, if you're second or third or fourth on the depth chart, you can still find your way on the field.
Yeah.
Unless you switch positions, you're not looking at the field. Unless you're Holder.
Right.
And even that now, because sometimes, like, in 2019, Jimmy is a safety.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, when you think about your role on the team, and I guess what I'm trying to say, when you think about your role and how different it is to everybody, like, or how different it is compared to everything else, you know, what is your role? What do you do during practice, film study to help, like, Easton and all those guys prepare?
Yeah, I think my role on a game week was really just, I felt like the guy to kind of just loosen the room a lot of the time. Yeah. Like, let's be loose, guys. There's no need to be getting upset. And even on game days, when Easton or Trey would come to the sideline, you got Zeb who's trying to see things. He's got the headset on. He's communicating with Hedberg. Say, hey, I see this, I see that. Whereas me, I'm throwing up fingers, signaling in the plays. I mean, I'm calling all the touchdowns at the end of the day. But it's all about just having everyone keep a level head.
Sure.
I really tried to be the guy that was there to keep everyone even keeled, be the guy when people needed to laugh, could create that for them. And then at practice, it was just when guys needed a step out and get my reps in, do that, and give everyone the best look possible that was going to be so preparing to play on Saturday. Because being that third guy, you know, there's a lot of crap that's got to happen for me to put the helmet on and trot out there. So just putting everyone else in a position to get the best looks and have the most success is your role, and you just got to own that. And then being the guy that's kind of there for when everyone needs to loosen up a little bit too.
Yeah, I think what you just described was like mine and Quinn's careers too. You're just a glue guy. That's what it is, you know. guys start to pucker a little bit when you get closer to Saturday, and I think they need some comic relief. And it is needed because guys will blow up. It's high-tense situations, but the hardest part of balancing all that is that you still have to be ready to perform if your number does get called. I think back to the QB room, it really is special at NDSU with how, because it you're fighting for one position. There's one quarterback on the field and everybody's friends in there. And I think everybody's handled those decisions that coaching staff has made very, very well, because it's not like that in other parts of the country. Other teams, as soon as a header or the number one guy gets named, they're out of there. And most of those guys stay. Zeb stayed after Cam got the job. You look, Quincy came in, and even after Cam got it, Quincy was, okay, what's my role? I think that's really impressive because it's not like that everywhere else. It can be a lot more volatile. Just kind of speaks to, like you said, how intimate and how much you guys love each other in that room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. I think a part of it, too, is, and shout out to my parents who kind of stuck with me and helped me through a lot of the tougher times, because obviously it's not all sweet roses, and my wife too, Brooklyn, like they were my rocks through the hard times, because it's not easy being a third guy. As fun as it is, I mean, there's still tough times.
Absolutely.
Like, so you got to rely on those people that you love, my parents, my brother, my wife. So I mean, that was awesome too, but they kind of took the role upon themselves too, I felt like on road trips, like my mom and dad coming to the hotel, bringing us these dumb, I don't even remember what road trip we were on, but they brought this, like, Tabasco chocolate. And, like, we're giving it to Zeb in the hotel room, and he's just sweating balls because it's so damn hot. And it's just, like, just those little things that kind of everyone assumed that role that was around me, and it made it so much easier to do. So
yeah, I'm sure you loved hearing it from Brooklyn, who was a star on her team at playing soccer at NDSU. You're like, oh, great, now you get to tell me about how it's okay that I'm third on the death chart.
Yeah, I already dread, like, when we do have kids, and then, you know how everyone jokes about, like, oh, you must have got that from your mom.
Yeah.
In our case, she actually did. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've talked about how good that quarterback room is, and I'm sure, and I think me and Zach have both, I don't know if we've specifically talked about the time where we realized it, but when you are a bench warmer, when you are a bench warmer. You kind of get to that point when you realize in your career, especially at NDSU, you're like, okay, unless, you know, this many injuries happen or, you know, guys transfer, like, this is going to be my role, right? When you got to that point, what made you stay? Like, what kept you around? And I mean, I feel like I know the answer, but just explain to everyone listening what it is that, you know, kept. Because, like we said about Cole earlier, like, he was a guy that for sure could have went somewhere and played.
Yeah.
And, like, we think, like, you know, we could have went somewhere and played, and I'm sure you could have too. But, like, what kept you around NDSU?
Yeah, I think there's two things that go into that. One, my situation was a little bit different. One, going back to I had an individual that I saw living the rest of my life with. So that made it easy to stick around that way. But even if that wasn't a part of what I was doing, I would not have been able to leave that quarterback room, which we've already touched on a little bit. Yeah. Like, I'll just continue to kind of harp on it. It might get a little old hearing it, but, like, hey, being around Eason, Trey, Cam, Zeb, Cole, like, you just, you feel like if you leave that, you're almost letting those guys down. You're just, they're losing a piece of, right, of what's kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
So it never, to be honest, it never even crossed my mind. Sure. I did not, and a lot of people, I kind of battle it, but I truly never thought about transferring ever. Yeah. Now you think about hanging it up and be like, hey, it might be done.
That's what I was going to say.
I never thought about leaving. No. Now hanging it up, yes.
Yeah. No, I never thought about going anywhere else.
It was 3 times a week I thought about
that. Well, that's the thing, like, when you, and this is no offense to any other program anywhere, but, like, when you go, when you play, or, you know, when you're a part of the team like NDSU, to think of, like, going somewhere and, like, possibly going, like, 500, and then, because, like, already the pressure, and, like, I think I was going to touch on it last week, but just, you know, last week when, like, we gave up the drive to Drake and everyone's like, well, what's happening? It's like, the pressure of winning every week is almost enough to feel like a loss sometimes. Because sometimes when you don't win by enough, it feels like a loss.
Or play well enough.
Yeah. Or play well enough, or make too many mistakes. So, like, I can't even imagine what legitimate losses feel like. Like, if you just go 6-6.
Like, week in, week out.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's funny because, like, yeah, I never thought about going anywhere else. I was just like, well, if I'm done playing here, then I'm just going to, like, graduate and go.
Yep. And that's such a hard balance, dude, because honestly, as bad as it sounds, you know, you see what it's like to not play for the first time in your life. We were all starters growing up until college, and you're just like, man, this sucks. So it's like, do I weigh that balance of I only have 5 years left to play this game, or do I ride it out, fill in my role, and stay here? It's a hard balance because we could have went and played 30 games in our career if we transferred after the first two, knew we weren't going to play. But it outweighs it. One, I'm a Fargo kid, so that was hard. Like, where am I going to go play elsewhere? And two, it's just like, do I want to be in a program and play where they genuinely don't? Because when you're at NDSU, you think everybody thinks like that. They don't. You hear about, like, transfers and people who go elsewhere, and they're like, yeah, lifts are optional, and so are meals. And I'm like, can you imagine, dude?
Well, that's what I was gonna say. It's so different. It's like, and like I said, no offense to any of the program, but, like, I've heard other teams' schedules.
Yeah.
Even other Division I teams. And it's like, well, they're not even trying to win.
Yeah.
So, like, why would you, if, like, you go somewhere and you see what they're doing, yeah, it sounds a lot easier. But, like, you're just giving up, you know, a certain percentage just to win every week.
Yeah.
It's like, we can, as former players, call BS on certain schedules we had throughout our time there.
Yeah.
But guess what? It always worked.
Yeah.
And not one time did it not work.
Which was the number one thing that pissed me off.
Yeah. God, I just want to prove
you wrong.
So yeah. I literally say that, too. We'd get together and be like, gosh, this sucks, but
we can't even call BS on
something,
it.
Right?
Yeah. It's like, I always thought about it when it came to, like, Christmas breaks and stuff, and we're, like, practicing at 5:30 in the morning before we fly to Frisco. And everybody's like, why are we doing this? And I'm like, okay, think of what would make most sense in your head, and then realize the opposite's going to happen. Yeah. That's not shade at anybody because it won us national titles, but it was just, like, a matter of fact. You're like, oh, God, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Speaking of, you know, the hard parts, let's get into the weight room, the summer, and stuff like that. What was your least favorite workout, one, and then two, like, run punishment workout that Kramer put us through?
Yeah, so it could be, like, A lift exercise or a run exercise?
Yes.
Like a running drill.
If you walked in the weight room and you saw single leg fistball curls, like, you might as well turn around.
Buddy.
Like,
you're preaching to the choir for O-lineman and D-line.
There's nothing worse.
Here's the thing, though. You and I could, like, look like fat guys and, like, flop around on the ball and get away with it for 8 reps.
Kind of.
Skill guys couldn't get away with it. They had to have the hips high, ball curled all the way to their butt. We didn't have to do that.
For listeners who are wondering what single leg fizzball curls are, it would be you're laying on your back, you have a big fizzball that your heels are on, and then you bridge up. So your hips are off the ground, and you're using your hamstrings to pull it in, which I obviously haven't been doing enough of because I popped my hammy a little bit this week at
washed
kitten ball, which is a form of softball. So I'm rehabbing a pulled hammy here. So I should probably be
you're old.
Probably should be doing some more.
You have a wife pulling your hammy, playing softball. Sheesh, man, you gotta get it together.
You sound like you stopped playing in like 2011. Stopped playing last year.
Cole Davis in this room.
Well, as like anyone who's played pickup basketball, softball, knows like I'm that guy that's sweating gym class.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like
me too.
Like, I'm turning the singles into doubles, and it's just, it's inevitable. You get one.
It's a competitiveness, yep. Yeah.
You just get one
my,
of those.
My biggest fear is, like, playing pickup at, like, outdoor court, and I just feel my Achilles roll up into my calf. Like, I know it's going to happen, dude. Like, and I'm so scared.
I got all, like, the little injuries throughout playing, but I never got, like, I mean, I got my meniscus scoped once, and that was pretty much it, besides my head. But But, like, that's my worry is, like, I'm going to go out here and, like, try to, like, play basketball, which I haven't done in 7 years.
Yeah.
And something's going to go.
All right.
Do you have a least favorite? Obviously you do, but what's your... Do you know?
Workout?
Yeah.
By far, it was single leg squats.
Really?
All of that's on the same day.
Yeah.
It's heavy squats, single leg fizzball curls, single leg squats, and then I think we did like RDLs too.
Yeah,
it's like,
it was wild.
It's all on the same day. And pretty sure same thing, obviously it works, but I'm pretty sure it goes against like every workout science thing I've ever read to like overtrain those parts of your body. But like, are you gonna tell Kramer he's wrong? Because I'm not going to.
So I hated Monday off seasons because it was leg day like that.
Yeah.
But I can, the difference to me, if something's hard, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But the thing I like the least is because it makes me look like a naff. If you know what a naff is, then
you know
what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
What were the footboard slides?
Oh,
because when you're bad at like a lift, you can still like, you know, everyone looks the same when they're benching.
Right.
And like, not everyone looks like the same when you're squatting or doing like fizzball curls.
Yeah.
But like, you don't necessarily look non-athletic doing them. If you were bad like me at the sliding boards,
bad.
You looked like you should be playing, like, I looked like a junior high football player.
Yeah, if anybody, it's the things you wear socks with. It's like the hockey trainers or whatever they're called, and it is by far one of the worst things we do. Also, I'm just going to, when we got into, like, the last few weeks of the phase and we did the clean circuit, oh, my God, just take me out back. You do, like, 47 cleans. And then, and then it's squat cleans before that. It's just the worst. But yeah, single leg fizzball curls are bad. What was, obviously patterns aren't fun, but it's not like a punishment thing.
No,
you feel like it's just part of it. Do you guys remember that one time we got rained out in the summer and we had to do that active warm up thing in the weight room?
Oh my gosh,
that was the hardest.
That might have been the worst thing ever.
Yeah, that was. I don't even know what you just didn't stop.
It was just a continuous dynamic warm up, and we just kept
going. Well,
and it
was like, I think it was the middle of June, so it's like the hottest part of the year.
Yeah.
And we never have that many guys in the weight room working out. So it was like 60 guys, and like we're all in this turf space.
Yeah.
So like, and everyone stinks, like smells, everyone's breathing hard, like we're all just sweating on each other. And I think it lasted for like 50 minutes. It was longer than an actual run.
Yeah, because the summer runs, besides gassers and patterns, aren't that hard. Mm-hmm. It's all positional stuff. And,
yep.
You know, you do the star drill for O-linemen. You just like stomp your feet and run 10 yards. It's not that
bad.
But
there's a pretty bad D-line drill that I hated when I was.
You guys had some grinders.
It was
the shuffle.
It was like the
shuffle.
Oh, We talk about looking like an half. My first 2 years, I had to...
It's because your legs are a foot and a half long.
I know. I had to stay after with, like, who was it? I can't remember who the DN was. It's like he was tutoring me on how to do these bags. Because I never stepped over a bag in my whole life.
Sure.
Like I said in the first episode, I think it was the first episode, my senior year, our D-line in high school were yellow garbage cans. So it's like there wasn't much drill work going on in high school for me. So like that was the first time. And I remember just being like, I was sitting like behind everyone because like you're a freshman. So like I remember the first winter runs, we're in the bubble. It's like kind of cold in there, but like you're still sweating. So you just feel weird.
It's the worst feeling.
Yeah. And then, but like I'm looking and I'm like, oh, what are they doing? I'm like, what's going on? And I basically just like walked over it the first time. And then when I tried to like speed up, I just kicked them everywhere. Like it was a mess.
I think sneaky quarterback patterns are some of the worst ones.
That's what I heard. Jimmy did quarterback and DBs. And
Mr. Fargo.
I think he claimed that the quarterbacks were harder.
Yeah, and to be honest, we run the longest distance other than the running backs, I think. It's a lot of just, because it's a lot of like, you're running on a turn a lot of times when we're doing our bootleg stuff. Yeah. But worst thing over any run, any pattern, is everyone thinks we just kind of sit there during practice, but some of Hedberg's indie drills, while everyone else is doing special teams, are no joke. And a few guys will know what I'm talking about when I say tornado, but like, when that word comes out of Hedberg's mouth, like, you know your quads are fried.
Yeah, your
so
eyes.
So it's like...
Is that like the directional one you see like
the directional ones, or we would like, you're keeping a base and you're shuffling up, forward, over, up every yard on the hashes.
Yeah.
So it's like boom, 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 and that'll light the quads up, especially if you start to go for a while.
It's the little stuff that coaches get you when you have downtime. That's the hardest stuff. Like we would always do indie stuff during punt return when guys weren't on the shield, and it's just like, can I go climb in the stands and just watch the rest of practice?
It was my freshman year. It was the last day. It was like the last, because you guys didn't have 2 days, right?
Nope.
Yeah, so my freshman year was the last day of 2 days, and Coach Gazer was on, like, all the specials. So I think that year it was even, like, our second practice for 2 days that year, I mean, it was, I'm pretty sure it was, like, 18 periods, and, like, 15 or 14 of them were all special teams.
Sure.
So it's basically just an indie practice.
Yeah.
Which is sometimes way worse than, like, a normal practice. Because at least in normal practice, when you get in the team, sometimes you get like reps off.
Yeah.
You're just doing indie the whole time. Like, it's just a grind.
Yeah.
Especially during like, and then if like guys know during the season, like indie sometimes, or I would say most of the time, is like the most tiring part. Both like six periods.
Oh my God. You run over from warm up right into like shoot drill. And you're like, oh my God.
But
so how bad do I want to do this?
So Gazer was he was on a bunch of specials. So like the D line got sent to Coach Kane.
Yeah.
Coach Kane. I liked Coach Kane, and he liked me, so that was a plus. But
it depends who you ask.
Yeah, but so when we had quite a few freshmen, but all we did during during the second practice or whatever, everyone lined up every 5 yards. Not everyone, freshmen.
Sure.
So the freshmen DNs and D-tacks would line up every 5 yards, and then you would do pass rush moves every 5 yards, and then you would just like sit there until it was your turn to go again.
Mm-hmm.
People call those different things. Aren't those butt lickers?
Yeah.
Like when you would run and do it?
Yes.
So it was basically that, but you would throw pass rush moves instead of run.
Yeah, I know like other non-PC names probably. But yes, you're in a circle like chasing each other basically.
And we did that for 8 periods. And we just didn't stop.
That sounds horrible. I know, I obviously don't mean anything bad, but it depends on who you ask about Coach Kane. But you ask some of those freshman O-linemen because they would get absolutely worked. Normally when you're O-lineman, you go over with the D-line. It's chill out time. You're basically a tackling dummy for Steidl to punch. But I heard Coach Kane used to just work those guys when they thought they were getting a break. So I kind of want to pivot here a little bit. You obviously played with two specifically, a lot of great quarterbacks, but two pretty special football players that are still in the league right now. What kind of separated Easton? I have an idea, but I wasn't in that room. We got 2 years with him, correct? So what did you notice from him that like really separated him from the pack and has led to his success still playing for our Chargers now?
Yeah, I mean, they're just, until Trey learned from Easton, like I had never seen a guy dedicate so much time and effort into preparation.
Sure.
Like you hear it, you see the clause that they put in Kyler Murray's contract, and it's like, that's a guy that you would never even think that that would that would come to that point, because
they put a clause into Easton's contract saying you have to
sleep. You got
to
go home.
Yeah,
yeah, you have to go home before 10 o'clock at night. Like, it was that. Like, he put that much time and effort into it, and I mean, he, like, it worked. He's a freak athlete, but he's not gonna throw it further than it. Like, he doesn't have this massive arm.
Right.
Like, obviously, we all know he's fast as hell, but like, he didn't have these like massive tools that he had at his disposal.
He beat everybody with his brain.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna be smarter than you, and I'm gonna be faster than you. So it just came down to that. Like, he was that smart.
If you drove by the dome pretty much any time during the day, you would see the 2013 gray
Silverado
with Nebraska plates.
Oh yeah,
Omaha. Whatever.
And I think that's, you know, is pro. I mean, he's now, look at him. He's a third string 2A, 2B with Chase Daniel on the Chargers. That's not very often they keep that many guys on the roster in the NFL.
And not when it's his fourth year in the NFL.
Right, exactly. Like, that says something about who Easton is, that they're keeping him around and giving him contracts.
Cowboys might want to take a look.
Stop. They can call Ben DiNucci before they take Easton back. I need him to stay in powder blue. Then let's talk about somebody who was athletically gifted. Also, I think, obviously, I'm alluding to Trey. Not to say Easton wasn't athletically gifted. He's in the NFL, for God's sake. But Trey was obviously very cerebral. I think he got the keys to the offense pretty early. And for a redshirt freshman, that's very impressive. But what did you see out of him that you're like, oh, we're from a different planet, we're not the same?
Yeah. Really, the first time you see the guy run and spin it, like, I mean, come on.
It sounds different when it comes out of his hand.
Yeah.
Especially with two gloves on.
And you really, like, in practice, I mean, it was kind of like a, hey, is it going to be a Zeb or is it going to be a trade deal until a week before the game. And then you see him play, it's like, okay, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's nothing to take away from what Zeb can do either, because it's like both ridiculous quarterbacks.
But I went and won games in the SEC after leaving here.
So that's, I mean, it's just kind of, it speaks for itself. There's not too much to say about him. He's straight up a freak. Anyone who's talking fantasy football or asking me about Trey, asking me about this, like, the guy's a freak. Like, there isn't a doubt in my mind that he will be a Pro Bowl quarterback at some point in his career.
That's what I tell people, you know, and, you know, I mean, he played fine yesterday. This is after the Niners played the Bears, but it wasn't, like, something you write home about. It was his first NFL start, probably had some nerves. But it's like, he's one of those guys that I feel like can will himself into being an all-pro quarterback. He's so smart, and he cares about it so much that I think he will. I remember, and it shocked me, it was his freshman year when Easton was still there, and Easton was just in the O-line room hanging out with us, and he goes, I've never seen anybody do this. And it was Trey throwing a ball like 60 yards on the number, just threw a post ball. And he was like rolling to the left and just hit, like, stuff you're not supposed to do. And he's just like, I didn't see Carson do this. I can't do this. And we're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Five might be special, man. He's pretty good.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of that, like, the brain comes from, like, Hedberg and Easton just instilling that into him and holding us all accountable.
Sure.
Like, when we all came in, we saw what Easton was doing, and then Hedberg's kind of there just, Easton's there to show us the ropes of, okay, this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
Hedberg's holding us accountable to make sure we continue to do
sure.
it.
Sure.
Yeah, I think Hedberg, he recruited you, I assume,
yep.
North Dakota.
Yep.
He recruited me. He was your position coach. We've talked about what our position coaches have meant to us. Like, I had Gazer and Blazik, and they both mean a lot to me. And you had Coach Riley and Coach Blazik, who were two great men and meant a lot to you.
Coach Lars, yeah.
Yeah, Coach Lars for the spring. What, just, you know, in a nutshell or however you want to do it, what do you think is so special about Coach Hedberg and his ability to, you know, just turn out, you know, draftable quarterbacks every year? But just what does he mean to the room? And what do you think, if you want to explain to Bison fans, what do you think, you know, I guess, to me, he emulates Bison pride in a way, but what does he mean to you, and what does he mean to that quarterback room?
I think it's just that. It's the accountability piece. Like, he's not going to let you slack off. I was never one to, like, I could take harsh criticism. I'm not one to shut down if a guy gets in my face or whatever it might be. I, more times than not, appreciate that rather than telling me what I want to hear.
Sure.
But I think he does a really good job of finding that balance. Like, a lot of guys see him from the outside and see a really mild-mannered, very calm, but he'll get on your ass now.
He sure will. You'll hear it from two fields away, too.
Yeah. So I think that's what he finds a good balance there, and the accountability piece. Like, he's going to make sure you're in the dome. And
right.
I was never a guy that had grade problems, but he's the guy that is not going to say he's going to make sure you're in class or make sure you're watching tape. Like, he's going to walk down and he's going to check and make sure you're there. And
check
not just
iPad time,
yeah, not
like
just
that.
Check the box and say, I hope they do this or that.
Yeah, I think, and it's hard to explain unless you're in that room. Part of it's obviously recruiting. You need the vessel for the football player, but you just get something special out of guys that, who knows if Easton is what he is if he goes to Rutgers or Nebraska? Who knows if Trey is what he is if he goes to Boise State or Minnesota? I think it really is just impressive. And now you look at Cam, who pretty sought-after quarterback from Salona, Iowa, coming out. But still, just it's almost like they play above their means. It's unbelievable how he gets this extra stuff out of these guys. And now you look who's waiting in the wings. It's Cole Payton, who's like a prototype. What if you could draw Tim Tebow up in a lab, you have Cole Payton again. It's just, it really is impressive how he gets these guys to campus and then what he does with them. They definitely don't rest on their laurels. And as far as, I think we took a lot of pride as offensive linemen, and like, we protect the program and we go as far as, or the program goes as far as we do. That means even more with quarterbacks, because,
yeah,
you know, you can be a good team with a decent quarterback. You can't be a great team. So I think that says a lot about Coach Hedberg. And I think him and Kramer are going to get the statues in front of the Fargo Dome one day.
Yeah, and I'd say when you're throwing in front of a Titans, a Bengal, and a what's the one? Zeech, too, Bronco in front of you.
Yep.
That doesn't hurt your cause either.
Yeah, right. We talked about that previously. Like, one of the best offensive lines of all time to ever come through NDSU.
Yeah.
So now that you're out, obviously, got a little conflict of interest. I was thinking about this in the car. I have two insurance salesmen that kind of overlap a little bit. But you're at Northwestern Mutual now, kind of just living your life. I know you and Brooklyn got married. You guys are, I'm assuming, starting a family soon or whenever that happens. But what do you miss now that, like, you're in the real world that, you know, because there's a lot of hard days when you're a bench warmer, you're a glue guy at NDSU not playing. What do you miss most about your experience there?
I would say you miss the thing you miss the most is just game days.
Sure.
I've never missed a I've never missed being at a lift or missed being at a practice since
right,
I've been
right.
done, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the game days, running out of the tunnel, I mean, the cliche things is what you miss. I mean, you miss the time with the guys, the Chubbs nights. That's what you miss. But since being done, it instills a lot of values and has propelled me to the career that I'm hopefully building for myself, the business to build. So
yeah,
no, I wouldn't change a thing, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's all I have. Quinn, you got anything?
I'm trying to think. Not really.
Yeah, I think this could be a 3-hour long podcast if we sat here and chopped it up. No, we appreciate you coming in. We'll finish the show here, go through some stuff and preview Arizona a little bit, but just want to say thank you for coming on. You're the first guest of Benchwarmers, and many more to come. Obviously, me and Quinn have a lot of friends former players that we're still in touch with, so we're going to have some more coming up here, but you're the inaugural one, so we appreciate a lot.
Yeah, I really do appreciate you guys having me on. Means a lot that I can be the first guest on the Benchwarmer. Means that I'm probably last on the bench. So,
well, I mean, we kind of not debated you, but I mean, obviously, show is called Benchwarmers, and because it's hosted by two Benchwarmers, though we are friends with some Benchwarmers, it's going to be hard to just stick to that.
Yeah.
For the entirety of the show.
So you're gonna hear some guys who are studs at NDSU.
Yeah.
We're excited about that
yeah,
too,
for sure.
But it is our duty that you all know, you the listener knows, that they will be bullied for being good at football because they deserve it. They deserve some lash back from, you know, getting everything they had in college. we talked about it a little bit, but what are you looking for in this Arizona game? It's hard to say you expect to win. NDSU expects to win every game. But we watched that San Diego State game, and Arizona's kind of sporty, man.
Yeah. Before we jump into it, we'll do the second ad.
Okay.
Second and last.
Okay.
For those listening. Tundra Insurance, me and Ross Uglum had that. You can call 701-969-1661.
Look at this guy. Yep. He memorized the number for the first time.
Absolutely. Look us up online, Tundra Insurance, tundrainsurance.com. Everything will pop up there. And we'll take care of all your needs, you know, home, auto, life, health, anything you need. But, yeah.
Yep, I just got everything switched over with you guys, car and business insurance. So if you're in need of any of those things, hit these two guys up.
There you go. All right, back to the, what is it called? Informal, non-formal? What? Do you know the correct way to say it? Informal?
Yeah.
All right, informal preview to Arizona.
Yeah, both your attempts were wrong.
Yeah.
Right word. Okay.
CTE. Okay. Yeah, I think what I'm most excited, I mean, obviously I think our defense has played pretty well this year. I mean, giving up 10 points in two games. Or,
yeah.
17. They scored two touchdowns, whatever. Yeah. But, dude, and like Noah can speak on this too, but our offense right now.
Rolling.
If you're a defense, pick a way to die.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, are people like, hey, when 44 steps on the field, we're going to do everything we can to stop him. But he's not carrying the rock every time. He's not having the ball. Like, how do you game plan for this offense right now?
I don't think there's a good way to do it.
Sure.
I mean, we're at the, you know, the last few minutes of last week's game, and I'm looking. And, you know, obviously our, you know, thoughts, prayers, positive vibes, everything goes out to Eli.
Yeah.
Mostar, I mean, that sucks. Obviously, to, you know, get injured like that. I don't know the exact time frame. I think Coach Entz didn't completely rule him out for the rest of the year, which is good.
Yeah, that's a good sign that him just saying he's done. Yeah,
right. Probably. But, so I think everyone, even me, I mean, I've been done playing for 2 years, and I'm already like, you know, oh, why would starters, why are they in? But we're up by 30. But it's hard because everyone's so good.
Right.
Especially, and, you know, our defense is really well, but I'm looking at the fourth quarter last week, and we're up by 40 points. We have TK and Jalen Bussey getting handoffs.
Right.
And I'm just like, I'm like, do we have anyone else? And I'm looking at them, I'm like, no.
No, we don't.
We're seven deep at the running back.
They're all studs, yeah. But,
yeah, I guess it's going to be interesting, and I think Coach Entz hit on it too, like the clash of styles.
Yeah.
If you want to equate the, you know, Missouri Valley FCS to an FBS, it's going to be, you know, Big Ten football. I mean, it's a grinder. And you get to those Pac-12 where they just recruit different bodies.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see what the offensive plan would be like. I might throw this over to Noah. With the amount of offensive weapons we have, you know, running or passing, like, what do you think we'll try to do against Arizona? Just, you know, Arizona being longer on defense, but the Pac-12 not really known for, you know,
stopping the run.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think too much will change from what we're used to seeing with Bison football. It's going to be, I think we know we're better. Mm-hmm. So if I know Coach Roll, he's going to go put it right down their throat.
Yeah.
And just for that first drive, he's going to say, hey, we're here to play, just so you know.
I think that is where they are weak is the worst weakness you can have when you're playing NDSU, and that's on your D-line. Just because our front five, it was like made in a lab to move people, and we scheme around it to get people out of the way. We always knew the goal was 40 minutes COP. We might see it this weekend with how much they throw it around and how much we're going to bleed that clock running it down their throat for 12, 13 drive plays.
Yeah, and I watched quite a bit of that, or the first half probably of the Arizona, Missouri State or
Mississippi State.
Mississippi State. And yeah, when you have teams that just pass it like that,
yeah,
they can go score fast. But when you score fast and then you three and out fast, like you said, that time of possession.
Yeah.
And if you give NDSU that time of possession, you're going to be hurting.
Yeah, because they're going to score it at the end of every drive. We always talk about that was the goal of every drive. One was for every drive to end with a kick. No turnovers, any of that stuff. But the kicks might be either a kickoff or a PAT attempt coming this weekend, because I think the hard part is you can try to take out the run game, and if you do, you load the box. Cam is competent enough, and that's not giving him enough credit, because he's really, really good and a skilled passer. We just haven't seen him open the playbook to let him, you know, throw the ball 25 times, which I think might come this weekend. And it's going to be fun to see these guys play on a big stage, and it's always good to walk out with another FBS notch on your belt.
It might, but like Kendra's like Noah said, I don't know if for NDXU to win this game, I don't even know if that has to happen.
Right.
Like, we could go a classic where the quarterback throws the ball 12 to 15 times.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting to see, because obviously I don't remember exactly how the games have went, like, to start. But, you know, you go and play 2013, they play the opener in Kansas State.
Yep.
One of the best NDSU games of all time.
Yeah.
Kansas State's coming off their Big 12 championship. A couple years later, we beat Iowa State, who was a decent team, but they're definitely not what they are now with Matt Campbell.
Yeah, we were down a half, I believe, in that game.
Yep. And then, obviously, 2016, my freshman year, when we beat Iowa, they were coming off the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were in the Big Ten championship. I don't know if they won it, because I'm sure Ohio State won it. I can't remember.
Was that the year they won it, went to the Rose Bowl, and then got beat up by McCaffrey?
I might have been.
I think it was that year, yeah.
Because that would have been what? That would have been 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, not slouch FBS teams. This isn't. And when you look at our former FBS wins, Minnesota teams that weren't very good, beat up on Colorado State, beat up on Kansas. Not beat up on, but that Kansas team is horrible, and we still beat them. It's just, and same thing with this Arizona team. They're 1-11, but I think they are markedly better than they were last year.
Right.
But it's not the this isn't the 13th ranked team in the country like when we beat Iowa. This isn't a top 25 team like when we beat Kansas State. In the clash of contrasting styles, ours usually comes out on the winning end, and I'm excited to see it this weekend.
It will be interesting to see their offense, just because, and we've had this. I mean, I remember Sam Houston every single year. It's like they're, you know, oh, NDSU, I don't know if their corners can hang with the outside guys,
yeah.
You know, Texas speed, whatever. But it will be interesting to see, not sound like an old, but it will be interesting to see what our defense looks like against these, you know, West Coast, I'm assuming they have like these California FBS receivers. So it'll be interesting. That'll be interesting too. But I think, and like this, I have flashbacks of T-Roll just running all over Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's been so long since NDSU, if they even ever have had a guy like Hunter.
Yeah.
That I think we've gotten a lot of Hunter already this year, but I think T-Roll kind of wants to do his guy solid. And just
give him one last six send off to score like 20 this year.
I mean, it's an FBS game. It's going to be on national TV. I mean, it's going to be late, but it's still going to be on ESPN, you know?
Yep.
We might just get, what do they call him? What do we call Hunter on Twitter? The magical beast or whatever.
Majestic beast.
Majestic beast. Like,
I call him Hunter.
Yeah.
I was like, where are you going with that?
I call him Mookie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I got into that on Buzz Report. The fake name change. Your name's Lupke. Sorry, you could be an NFL Hall of Famer. I'm calling you Hunter Lupke.
Before we end, I might have to go drive by practice today or tomorrow. When we played Iowa in 2016, and like you guys, and I don't know if it was just an Iowa thing, because guess what? We never did it any other time. We played guys with huge D lines.
Sure.
So it might just be an FBS thing. When we played, this is my welcome to football moment. Welcome to college football moment. When we played Iowa, they had Jaleel Johnson, who weighed like 340, 345, I think.
Yeah.
Cody Morgan was our defense quality control guy at the time. Cody, I love you, but he put me in 45-pound vest for the whole week. As a freshman, I was 295 with my cleats, pads, and helmet on. I weighed before he made me do this. I was 320
right.
with all the pads on. And he's
would
like,
have been sufficient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, no. He's like, you're a freshman on the scout team. You need to emulate the team we're going to play. Jaleel Johnson, 345 pounds.
Were you moving like Jaleel Johnson at 345?
No, but when the first time Cooney hit me with the weights on, he just was like, holy. Because like, it is, when you just put when you just put a vest on that has like 2.5 pound plates that just add up to 45 pounds, you're hard to move. Did you guys ever have a scout moment where they just made you do something ridiculous?
Well, when we played Wofford.
Triple option was
horrible.
Horrible, especially when solo down there.
Yeah.
Because there, when Cole
You're running every
When play. Cole got hurt, Holden and I flipped back and forth. Like, one day we would go down with Easton, and then Jim would come down. And then the next day, Holden would go down, Jim and Easton. So we'd flip back and forth, and then we'd run into Wofford or triple offense, and then you're literally, it's just a practice full of sprints.
Yeah, the only bad part about scout team was that I had no sub, so it was same as you. I took every rep on scout team, but I never had to wear a 45-pound vest, thank God.
I was never on scout team offense. In my mind, I feel like it's way worse than scout team defense.
It's not that bad. I didn't think.
Maybe not.
You guys had to like purposely throw picks and where the ball was drawn. So
that's what I'm thinking.
That's hard as a quarterback, but like, I mean, we still just, it was run right and block or run left and block.
Yeah. No, I'm excited for the game. I don't know if you guys have anything else on it, but it'll be fun. I mean, sports betting isn't legal in North Dakota, but
it's legal in Arizona.
It's a pick 'em right now.
Yeah.
Put the mortgage on the bison.
This isn't betting advice.
definitely not betting advice. Yelling this into the mic.
Is it actually even, though?
It's a pick 'em right now.
Yeah, no way. Nice.
Yeah.
Because I looked at the SDSU line, and they were plus, Iowa was favored by 10.5, and I was like, I think it'll be about 6.5.
Yeah.
It's so crazy to think that we are pick 'em favorites with an FBS team on the road, playing in their place at 8 p.m., 9 p.m., whatever it is. Unless you guys got anything else, we'll close it out. Ross and I will be down there. Come say what's up in Tucson, shoot us a message. I think we're gonna be doing the Bison 1660 pregame show from the hotel room. But you know, we have until 9 p.m. to get it done, so it won't be too bad. Come say what's up, enjoy the weekend. Go Bison.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming on. We'll be back.